this evening. Yes, we're out of our study. We look forward to getting back into 1 John on Sunday evenings. It seems like it's been forever since we've been in 1 John. But as we kind of wrap up this thought of our special meetings this week and what God has done in our lives, I want us to think about this aspect. Your faith in Christ should bring greater works in life. Not that our works produce works, and it's not that we produce works in our own strength, but your faith in Christ should bring greater works this year. Whether it's praying, giving, going, relationships, whatever it may be, our faith should make those works. We're reminded in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through what? And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of... lest any man should boast." But what does verse 10 go on and tell us we're saved unto? Good works. Not that those works save us, not that I can clean my life up and buy my good works, but that my faith makes a difference in my life, in those works. In James chapter 2, James is really arguing against the claim that, man, I can have faith without works. Now, some people say, well, I'm proving, you know, you can see I'm different because I do this and I do this and I do this and I do that. I don't do this, I don't do that. The Pharisees did a good job at that, didn't they? But they didn't have what? Faith. I mean, they had faith in themselves that they could clean up their life and keep all 613 commands plus whatever other laws they put on top of those, which, granted, they really couldn't and they didn't, but they claimed to. The empty name of boasted faith contrasted with true fruit-producing faith. Faith produces fruit. We have a pear tree. At least that's what we've been told. Claire, I think you might have told me, I think you got a pear tree in your yard. And the people we bought it from said, you know, there's a pear tree in the yard. And it's like, okay, so which tree is the pear tree? And I've looked at pear trees online, and it's like, okay, so this bark is pear, but wow, that bark can be... I mean, I would like my pear tree to produce what? Pear. Now, I'm pretty excited about that. But if my pear tree doesn't produce pears, what good is it? Other than real pretty, right? But we go through that aspect. It produces fruit. Even a pear tree that doesn't produce edible pears is pretty, isn't it? And it produces the fruit of the blossom and the other greenery. All fruit can look different. But my faith must produce works. Your life and my life must be different when? Yes, on Sundays. Yes, there's great opportunities on Wednesdays. But my life must look different on Monday morning at 8:30. It's Monday again. I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago in one of the... it's Monday and we can have a good Monday, can't we? And we talked about that aspect. But what makes a difference? My faith. And my faith that produces fruit and thus those works for God that come through that. In James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Well, of course, how are we saved? By faith. But that faith makes a difference. Kids, when I called you up front, what did the first thing that you do? What'd you do, Jaden? Okay, we sang, but before you sang, what'd you do? You sat down, right? Did you, Jaden, did you think this pew would hold you up? Did you think it would hold you? Yeah. How many of you questioned that when you sat down tonight? Will this really hold me up? Right? I mean, we don't do that. We just, how many of you plopped down in your pew tonight? Right? Spencer's like, that was me. And we just do that because we don't think about it. Our faith in this pew says it will hold me up. And it did. In fact, our faith in these pews says, man, I can pile 8 of us on there and it'll hold us up. I mean, they're made to hold weight. And our faith has what? Works. That work of sitting down. There's a difference because of our faith. But if I said, oh, I believe that pew will hold me up, and I never sat down in it, what good would that be? Oh, yeah, those will hold me, and I see it's holding other people, but I like standing. Right? I mean, and I never sit down. Now, that's just a goofy thing. But that faith, that supposed faith, that which I'm claiming is faith, isn't doing any good. It's not doing anything. And our faith in God makes a difference. Why do we have evangelists like Mike Maynard, and we'll have others, and as we have missions conferences and our missionary guests this next Sunday, why do we have them come in? They share with us what faith has done in their lives and how it can make a greater difference in our lives through changed life. That's fruit. That's works. And as we continue on then and continue with this thought of what God has done in my life this week, I want you to stop, and I want you to think about one thing God taught you through Evangelist Mike Maynard this week. Now, you may think of more than that. That's okay. But think about one specific thing that God challenged you with. Can I share with you what one thing, at least one thing? God challenged me multiple ways this week. But one thing that God challenged me with this week was in prayer. I really need more prayer. I need to spend more time communing with God in prayer. Now, maybe you've got that. Your faith has produced prayer. You are a prayer warrior. But there's another area in your life you struggle that God has challenged you with. How are we going to let that make a difference in our lives? Through what? Faith. Not saying, okay, it's 8:30 and I'm getting down on my knees at 8:30 and I won't get up till 9 o'clock. Do you know how much praying I could do? I could be on my knees and I could not pray. You ever had that? Right? You're there to read your Bible or to pray and you get nothing because you're thinking of all these other things that are going on. I try to have, and how many of you have your phone with you, right? Okay. All the time, right? It's always in your pocket or whatever. I mean, you've got something. I try to have mine where I keep my notes so that I can text myself, put a little note in there of what came to my mind so I can forget that and go back to what I'm doing, because otherwise I will think about it and, oh, I've got to do this and that, and that's how this is good. You ever been like that, right? How do we stop? Well, yes, there's some discipline and some practical choices we can make, but how does that work out? It's through our faith in God. God, I need your help. You tell me to pray. You tell me you want to help me to pray. I need your help. How do we grow our faith? And we've talked about our importance of the Word of God. Many Christians today are afraid of doing right because they will fail. I'm afraid to make a commitment because I've not kept my commitments before. And we talked about motivations this morning in Joshua and some things that motivate us to do either good or bad. But what is it then that must be behind those motivations to do good? Remember, we talked about commitment. Trust, obey. What's behind that? Faith. Faith in God makes a difference in our lives. We must remember to demonstrate our faith through greater works. Not that we do these works in our own strength, but demonstrating. Romans 5:8, one of the verses that Evangelist Maynard had shared with us this week. God, what? Commendeth his love toward us. And what does commendeth mean? He demonstrated it. How did God commend or demonstrate his love to us? He died for us. I mean, think of just all the ways just in that act alone. He had to come down to earth as a human being. Whoa, that's demonstrating love for those he created. That blows me away. Why would God want a body like mine? Any of you ever wonder, why would God want a body like mine? He loved us. That act of love, God demonstrated his love. And we demonstrate our faith in God. And it's demonstrated through works. James goes on in James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So when we say our faith should make a difference, number one, your faith should affect people's physical needs. People's physical needs. Here James is talking about that. You see a need. And this is something that I've been praying through and thinking through. And okay, so how does this flesh out as a church body? How does this flesh out in this situation? There are people that our lives come in contact with every day. Do I see their needs? Now, sometimes we see a need, and we can't always fulfill that. Or it's not always wise to fulfill that. As a lady, you're out driving. You see a guy with a flat tire. Do you stop and see what you can do to help? No, that's not one way to demonstrate your faith. Sometimes as a man, those are opportunities we can stop. Hey, do you need some help? Or, I mean, we just demonstrating that we see a need. That's just a simple area. But there are other ways that we see needs in our lives every day. Your faith should affect people's physical needs. But in order for it to affect the physical needs, you first have to see the needs. Have you ever heard someone tell you, open your eyes? Right, kids? Your parents say, open your eyes and see it. And your eyes were already open. It's like, what do you mean?
My eyes are open.
Just look a little harder. Right? Like the illustration I used this morning of the son who went out after he was playing basketball and he lost his contact lens. He went out to look for it and couldn't find it. He searched and his mom went out and found it because they were looking for two separate things, right? $150 or a piece of plastic. So the idea of opening our eyes to those around us. Didn't Jesus Christ even say, lift up your eyes? There's a need. Jesus saw the needs around him, and it made a difference. Our faith should see the needs around us. True faith will help you see others' needs. Ephesians 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There are needs around us. Now, does that mean that you and I have a responsibility because, well, I'm a Christian, so that means every need, every financial need that comes to me, I have to give to? Is that what God is saying? No. But I think it's something that we must pray about. God, there's a need. Do you want me to be involved in that? Is there a way I can do that? Is there a way I can do that for you? We're not just doing these things, these works, just to make a better community or to be a better neighbor. But we're doing it all for the glory of God. Faith demonstrates works for God's glory. Many people are afraid of what is called or often referred to as the social gospel. Kids, this is kind of a, what is the social gospel? Well, what is the gospel? Any of you kids or teens can tell me, what is the gospel? Okay, the word of God. Specifically, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. The good news about Jesus. So what's the social gospel? Sometimes people see the social gospel as, yes, it's about the Bible, but man, we've just got to do in our communities. And we just have to do for the sake of doing to make our community a better place. It's not about doing so Stockbridge and Munith and Gregory and Waterloo Township and Jackson County and Ingham County can be better, so that God can make a difference in these places. And that's why we as a church family must evaluate everything that we do, every ministry that we're part of. Is it meeting a need? And then how is that even pointing to spiritual need? So one, your faith should affect people's what? Physical needs. You've got to see that need. True faith will help you care about others' needs. Remember, James said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and do nothing about it. What good is that? Have you stopped to read 1 Corinthians 13? We can say all sorts of things and be like a sounding brass. We can do all sorts of things without love. Well, what is it ultimately? It's about Christ. My faith should make a difference tomorrow morning through God making the difference in my life. Tomorrow I should be a different person. Seeing the physical needs of others around me and caring. Sometimes, as independent Baptists, we get so scared of the social gospel that we don't want to do anything for people's needs. Now, I haven't seen that, and I'm thankful for that here, and in the burden to help people with their needs. And yet, we can't meet everybody's needs. Did you know that people call the church because they want money for this and that and the other? And I mean, it happens. We just can't go meeting everybody's physical needs. Is there a way we can help them, though? Praying and thinking through those things. Man, we can't give to everybody's electrical bill. Wouldn't that be nice if we could? right? Man, give to mine too, right? I mean, we're all like, we'll pay everybody's electrical bill. That's just not possible. We'll buy everybody groceries. People at times have needs, and we want to give to them. But with the ultimate end goal of not just giving to them, but pointing them to Christ. Our faith demonstrates that work. For what purpose? So that God can be glorified. What about our fresh food distribution? We do that right now. This year, it's every other week. Our burden is not just that we meet some physical need that people have. Do people have a need for fresh food? Yeah. But we don't simply want to meet a need of, you need food, we'll give it to you. We'll be the host to transport it off to you. But it's that faith with that works to point them to who? Christ. What good does it for us to simply provide for people's needs without pointing them to Christ? The physical need sometimes needs to be met before we can help deal with the spiritual so that they can see that spiritual need. True faith will help you care about others' needs. Seeing that difference, making that difference. It won't just see the need, but my faith will then help meet the need. Verse 17, James chapter 2. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is what? Dead. But I wasn't saved by my works. You're right. But you're saved unto good works. It's all about God producing that fruit in your life. So what if I put the pear tree in our yard, I dug it up, and I put it in a big old bucket of acid? Is that going to give it the stuff to produce pears? No, it'll give it the stuff to destroy the tree. And yes, I'm saved, but if I'm not getting in the Word of God, how am I going to grow so that I can produce that fruit? You wonder why there's no change. Man, I make these commitments, I'm motivated again. Through, man, that was good preaching. I need to change. And there's that positive conviction. There needs to be a difference. But that motivation must once again point me to Christ. Just like we were sharing with Joshua and the children of Israel, they went back to God. They trusted God. And so here we see that faith sees the need, and faith then helps meet the need. True faith will strengthen you to lovingly approach others. Sometimes it's hard to approach others. It's not simply telling them, be warmed. Oh, that's so good. I've been challenged with this thought. And once again, with the whole mind that we can't do everything. We can't meet everyone's needs. But I've thought about that. When someone says, hey, I've got this need, I'll pray for you. And we need to. But there are times that we can help. And see that need and help meet that need that God wants to use us. Because physical needs can help bring us to the point of meeting spiritual needs. We don't ever want to meet someone's physical need without the goal, end goal, of helping them meet their physical or their spiritual needs. And that's what James is reminding. Hey, there is works here that make a difference. The faith makes a difference in the life to help meet that need. True faith will strengthen you to help in ways that you can. Giving what you can. Not that everybody could take care of buying all the clothes. Is he saying here in this thing, hey, they have need of clothes, they have need of food. That doesn't mean you say, come into my house, I'll just support you the rest of your life. That's not what James is talking about. There's a point where we can, hey, I can help you with this. And again, we want to be wise and careful how we help people meet that physical need and what the purpose is and what is our purpose. Not just simply to help meet a need, but to help point them to Christ. Our faith produces works. It produces that fruit. And then if it produces fruit for God's glory, doesn't that mean that fruit, others should see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven? It's not simply about making our community better, but it's simply about pointing our community to Christ, where He'll make the community better. He'll make that change, that life change, the physical, so that they can see that spiritual need met. But it's not simply your faith should affect people's physical needs. Kids, what's the other kind of need that our faith should affect? It's on your paper there. Spiritual needs. Your faith should affect people's spiritual needs. verse 17 again says, if even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We're not simply talking of a faith. There is a God. But there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about his death, burial, resurrection, the gospel. Why should I have that sweet spirit of testimony as we were challenged with this week? It's about the gospel. Because how is God glorified? When I live for him and when others get saved. I don't want to simply have that sweet spirit of testimony because I hate conflict. And the sweeter I can be in my personality, maybe there will be less people that I rub shoulders with the wrong way. Now that's true. And we want God to change us and make us so we aren't rough. You ever been around someone who's real gracious? And you ever thought, man, I want to be like him or I want to be like her. I want to always come across to people that way. Well, how can we do that? By that faith in God and letting him produce that work in and through us and making that difference. Not that it's easy. But once again, it's not about me doing it. It's about God doing it in me as I rest in him. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. And the songs that we sang about resting in him and its faith in him, that faith makes a difference. Remember the song we opened up with? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's how the children of Israel went through and had victory in Canaan. That's how you and I will have victory in life. Through faith that produces works. Your faith should affect people's physical needs, but then it goes a step on and it should affect people's spiritual needs. Once again, you've got to see the need. Because here, remember, he said, thou believest there's one God in verse 19, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There is a spiritual need. It's not simply saying, yep, Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and I know it's true. But it's admitting and acknowledging, I am a sinner in need of that gift that Jesus Christ gave. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you receive a gift. Kids, didn't we talk about that tonight? If we but receive him, his children, will become. Faith is just believing what God said he'll do. And then it ended up, that song ended up with, faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. It's true. It makes a difference in my life and in your life. Faith with works. Because faith produces works. Just like the soil produces the blossoms and the greenery. And the water, as much as we say, man, we enjoy sunshine, we need rain, don't we? And we need these different things to help produce the fruit that we eat and that we see and enjoy the beautiful colors that we get to enjoy. We need that soil of God's word in our lives. As Peter reminded us, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Babies, you don't start them off with steak, do you? Mariah had roast beef for her first time today. That was a lot harder than chicken. Right? I mean, and you see, I mean, you don't do that. And so how do we grow our faith? In the Word of God. And it begins maybe once a week, twice a week, as you come and hear the preaching of the Word. But it shouldn't end there. It should be every day. As I'm in God's Word, growing my faith, adding to my faith through His Word. Faith produces works. I must demonstrate that in my life. So the things that God has challenged you with, you thought about something specific that God challenged your heart with this week with our special meetings. How are you going to keep that commitment? By what? Faith. And letting God work that through you. and through me. Not just sitting there and saying, okay, God, you challenge me, I'll do it. And just waiting for it to happen. Sometimes we live life like, okay, God, I'll do it. But we've got to get into His Word and then let His Word produce that fruit. When you look out at the trees right now, especially you think of a pear tree or an apple tree, and you see the blossoms, what do those then produce? Fruit that grows. And as I don't just sit there and say, okay, God, do it. But I sit in His Word. God, you challenged me to do this. I will do it, but I sure need your help. And we get in His Word. We take His strength and let Him grow us and produce that fruit in and through our lives. Then that fruit, one of those things is seeing others' spiritual needs. How many of you have a spiritual need? We all do, don't we? We need Christ every day. Because without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, there's no victory in my life over sin or worry or fear or whatever other temptation that it will be in my life. So we all have a spiritual need. Which then means, doesn't everybody else around us have a spiritual need? And you and I have a responsibility to see that need. And sometime in order to get to that spiritual need, we need to first help meet their what? Physical needs. It's been said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Caring. We have to see the need. But it's not just seeing that other people have a need. It's caring enough to help meet that need. So think about someone else's, we talked about physical needs earlier. Now, you've been challenged this week that God would make a difference in your life. So now, if I then, my faith produces works and sees those spiritual needs in other people's lives, what does that look like? So stop and think about someone close to you or that you have a relationship with. Maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's someone at school. Maybe it's a brother or a sister. They have a spiritual need. That isn't a bad thing. We all have a spiritual need. Some have greater spiritual needs than others. Man, they're just struggling in life. They need Christ. But so do I. How am I going to see other people's needs and then care enough? God wants me to see the need and then help meet that need. Remember, He's giving that practical example of the physical needs, the clothing, the food. And then He goes on in verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? Did Abraham have spiritual needs? Yeah. When God told him to offer his son, was there a spiritual need there that he needed to look to God for? Yeah. Think of the temptations he could have gone through. This is the one you promised me. There's no way. Whatever other arguments he could have worked up in his mind, he had a spiritual need and he had to choose God. Remember those motivations in life we talked about this morning? They should always draw us back to, God, I need you. Whether it's fear, whether it's peer pressure, whatever other pressures that it may be, those are the two specific we talked about today. Those motivations should always point me back to Christ so that I can keep my commitment to Him and trust and obey. Faith produces that in my life. To see the needs, physically and then spiritually, and then to help meet the needs. True faith will strengthen you to lovingly approach others. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the what? In So there's that spiritual need we see, but in order to meet that spiritual need, we must meet it in a physical way and demonstrate it in what? Love. A way to witness to someone. You're dying and going to hell. Now, is that what we should do? No. Now, is it true that without Jesus Christ, everyone is dying and going to hell? Yes. And do they need to know that? Yes, we don't want them just to know Jesus saves. Would you add him to your life? They need to know they are condemned for their sin and they're going to hell. But we must speak the truth in what? Love. But we have to speak the truth and not just part of the truth. But here Paul goes on, he says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on that new man. And the chapter continues on with those spiritual fruit produced from that new man. But part of that is you and I have an obligation. We have other people in the church family that we know. Think about someone that you're pretty good friends with, or man, you've got a relationship with. Maybe you only really talk at church, but you got a comfortable relationship. You seek them out at church. They have a spiritual need just as much as I have a spiritual need. And I need to see that. Now, I can't look at their little sliver and ignore the telephone pole that's in my eye. Right? We've dealt with that this week. God has pointed out those things. But as we look at others' lives, and I challenged you the other day, share with someone one thing that God has challenged you with this week. So you know that's a spiritual need in their life then. So then pray with them. Pray for them. Ask them about it. There's that accountability. Because faith produces works and an outgrowth, that change that comes in my life. So helping others meet that need, pointing them to Christ, continuing to encourage them to Christ and to trust God for that. True faith will strengthen you to help in ways that you can, not just helping physically. The social gospel stops here. They help meet physical needs. But the point of meeting physical needs, the point of our fresh food distribution, must be not just so people can be exposed to the church building, but so they can be exposed to the gospel. Because what good is food if you die and go to hell anyway? My faith must produce works that sees people's spiritual needs. Sometimes in order to see that and help them to see that, I need to first see their physical needs and help meet that and show them I care. James talks about that. But then giving and continuing to give. James then goes on and says, not just that my faith will affect people's physical needs and my faith will affect people's spiritual needs. He gives some examples. Who's that first example? We already read it here. Kids, who did we read about in this Bible passage? Look at your Bibles in verse number 21. You'll see his name. The third word, verse 21. Okay, Abraham, right? So Abraham's the first example that we see here. So we get an example of Abraham and his faith. Verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Justified? The word justify means to show or exhibit one to be righteous. So, I had opportunity in the past to go to court when people were in court cases at times, people I administered to. And there were times that people said, hey, let's get our family to write letters to the judge so that they can justify me. that show that I'm a different person or that I'm good or whatever it may be. People try that all the time. It doesn't always sway the consequences because there are consequences for sin. But they want to justify themselves. Now we're talking about being justified with God. Can any of us show God that I'm worthy of salvation? No. Because all have what? And come short of the glory of God. So I'm never going to be justified by my works. My works can never show God that I'm good enough. Because Isaiah says, my righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Whoa. Well, so I'll never be justified. But here it says that Abraham's justified. What does it say? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by what? Works. Well, I thought we were only saved by faith. It goes on and says, and by works was, I'm in verse 22 already. When he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought, what? With his works. It was the faith that made the difference. And the works were an outflow of that. He had faith that God said, okay, you offer Isaac, and I will, we look at the passage, we don't have time tonight, but you can see, he says, you offer him. And then Abraham, what is Abraham when Isaac asks him, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. I mean, just the confidence in God. There's faith that produces works. And that works was, okay, Isaac, you're God's. God will provide. And God ultimately did. The ultimate lamb, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so that's where our faith must begin. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you say, well, you mentioned that just about every service. Did you know we probably have kids in here that aren't saved? Some of our kids may not be saved. Maybe one of our adults isn't saved. Not that we want to scare people out of their salvation that, man, you're really not saved because you're not doing this and that. Our works don't prove our salvation. They demonstrate our faith. We aren't saved because we do this and that. But that makes a difference in our lives. Have you had that time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? I hope so. But then demonstrate that, continue to grow that faith in God. And that faith sees those differences. Abraham is one of those examples. And we could look more into that in Romans chapter 4 if we wanted to. And Galatians chapter 3. Look at, then we see verse 24. Or verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So how was Abraham saved? His belief. And that was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That works is an outflow, a showing of our faith. If I refuse to sit in one of these pews, and it's, oh, you can trust them all day long, they will hold you up, you have no fear. Or let's say I won't get into the elevator that we have. Oh, you can trust it. I'm not getting in there. But you can trust it. Right? I mean, that's faith. That's, whoa, what is that demonstrating? That I really don't have faith in it. And as God produces works in my life, man, I have faith that Jesus saved me. I have faith that living God's way is the best way for Monday, not simply Sunday morning. And then, that's demonstrating that faith in God. So then we go on in verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, showing that he's righteous. It's the faith that makes us righteous, but this shows that. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Are you really saved? I hope so. In fact, I hope the greater majority of us in this room are saved. And as far as I know, the vast majority of us are saved. Think back to that time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But now, you've been challenged this week from God's Word, and we should be all the time, but I think there's something special about evangelistic meetings. And God's challenged you with something specific this week. Have faith in God. And let him change you by working that out through your faith in him. Instead of, okay, God challenged me, and then I sit like a bump on a log this week and do nothing about that being challenged. How do I grow that faith in God? By getting into his word. Where do I start? Well, we have some devotional guides down below that can help if you're wondering how to do that. I've got some things I'm looking at even for you kids and you teens, just as special helps to maybe more on your level even to, how can I get in the Bible every day? That's faith. And that's how our lives are changed, because that faith produces what? Works. In my life, but then in others' lives. I'll see their physical needs, I'll see their spiritual needs, and I'll say, God, would you use me to help meet them? Because life is no longer about me and me only. And as much as it would be a lot easier if no one else was in this world but me, and you would say the same thing, but you, because we all have relationship issues, because we have relationships, and we all have different personalities. The way we do that is not simply by reading a book, The Delicate Art of Dancing with Porcupines, but by letting God produce that fruit through our lives. Yes, there are some practical tips we can use to help people and help meet people where they're at. But it's got to be God doing that in and through us. Because it's not just for us to be better people or to have better relationships. It's so that God can be glorified. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, that is the highest motivation. That's how we'll trust and obey. That's how we'll depend upon God and let him produce works through our lives. So what is your Monday going to look like? You kind of know your plan already. You know some of the things that'll be in your Monday. So how is God going to produce fruit tomorrow in your life? How is he going to make that difference in and through you that you'll see others' physical, spiritual needs and help point them to Christ? Maybe by helping meet a physical need first and then getting the opportunity to help point them to Christ. Maybe it's someone who's saved. How are you going to help them? It's as you grow your own faith and let God work in us first. Let's let him make that difference. We've been challenged with that this week. That's how tomorrow will be different than two Mondays ago. Let's let God change us this week. Father, we